堂听 class.com。
在线英语听力室 tinroom.com 欢迎您。
Unit 6, Section 1, Task 1.
Penject is it's like a James Bond syringe. It's
Novopen.
Yeah, Novopen. It's getting a brand name plug for the pen. It's like a biro or a fountain pen, which you can twist the top off and it turns into a syringe. And, I mean, it just means the amount of flexibility you've got just carrying it around. You can just put it in your pocket, walk down the street, and then if you want to stop and do an injection, you can.You can go into restaurants and doing without people even looking at you. It's brilliant. Really good.
Section 1, Task 4.
Richard, you're one of Virginia's patients.
That's right.
How did you first know that you had diabetes?
I was on a camping holiday with my parents, and my mother had recently read an article in a woman's magazine which described the symptoms, which are desperate thirst,and also urinating a lot. And because we were camping, my mother filled up the water buckets for the morning, the night before. And she realised one morning that she'd filled two-gallon buckets and found only half a bucket left in the morning. So I drank 3 gallons of water during the night and, of course, urinated it all out as well. It was quite soggy around the tent.
Good heavens. And did you feel ill?
Yeah, you feel really ill. You feel, like, very thirsty, really thirsty, and sweating a lot, and just tired, lethargic, you can't do anything.
So she then took you off to the doctor, did she?
To a GP who did a urine test, which was the standard way of testing for diabetes. And, of course, my sugar content was sky high, and that's an automatic sign, really, that you're diabetic.
And how old were you when all this happened?
I was 5 and a half.
So are those symptoms common? Is that what everybody suffers from, this thirst?
Yes, on the whole. I mean, put it this way, your body needs sugar to function, just, you know, for sleeping, working, playing, all those sorts of things. And it's insulin that enables your body to use the sugar. And so if you haven't got enough, the sugar builds up in the blood and you actually get, well, in fact, you get dehydrated, really.And the only way your body can get rid of the sugar is to send it out through the kidneys, through the urine. So you send out loads and loads of urine, and so you get this awful thirst. And so that's usually the first symptoms, especially if somebody young, you know, who's going to actually need insulin.
So what's the treatment now for diabetes?
Well, it depends when, sort of how you get diabetes. If, on the whole, below the age of about 30...you're going to need to have insulin injections for the rest of your life because you're just not producing enough insulin and probably no insulin after a while. But there are a lot, it's almost, 2% of the population, possibly more, now have diabetes. And in the sort of a later age range, people develop it. And sometimes it can be controlled just by diet or with diet and tablets.
And the effect on people's diet, does it vary for each individual, or are there basic rules that all diabetics follow?
And what you advise for diabetes now is the diet that you recommend for everybody, you know, that you have plenty of fresh vegetables and fruit and enough carbohydrate to fill you up, and preferably sort of high-fiber carbohydrate, and cut down on fats, which is, it's actually the opposite almost that you recommended, 10 years ago.
Section 2, Task 2.
I understand you're interested in holistic medicine. Can you explain what holistic medicine is?
Okay. Holistic medicine takes into consideration the whole of the person. Now, what this means in most holistic systems is regarding the person as a physical entity, a mental or emotional person, and also even their spiritual side of them.It also includes looking at the body as a whole rather than looking at individual parts of the body. And as a way of explaining this, we could look at conventional medicine as producing people who, like a cardiologist who looks at a heart, a brain specialist, a person who deals with bones, etc. So what we've tended to do in conventional medicine is break things down to a point where we're actually only looking at one part of the person, and we're not actually relating terribly well that part to the rest of the body. Whereas holistic medicine insists that if there is a problem with your right foot, that is going to somehow affect your entire body.
Section 2, Task 5.
Your speciality is acupuncture. Is that a part of holistic medicine?
Acupuncture is very much a holistic system. Traditionally, the Chinese regarded the person very much as a whole entity, and acupuncture itself works on an energy system, basically. And in a very simplified way, it's saying that you have an energy system within your body, and when that energy becomes blocked or tainted in some way, then you will manifest certain symptoms. And the things that we look at in conventional medicine, as things like arthritis or rheumatism, are to the Chinese merely an imbalance of the energy. So in this way, they may say to you, well, yes, you have rheumatoid arthritis, but we're going to actually look at your energy balance and rebalance you. And as a result, your symptoms should disappear.
Is acupuncture essentially a form of preventative medicine?
Traditionally, it was very much. In fact, traditionally in China, people only used to pay the doctor while they were well, and they used to go to their doctor fairly regularly, on, you know, maybe 4 or 5 times a year. And they would only pay the doctor when they were kept well, and if they got sick, they didn't pay the doctor. And the doctor had various methods, of which acupuncture was one, diet was another, exercise was another, of ensuring that the person lived a right lifestyle. And their emphasis was on, if you're living your right lifestyle, if you're living in tune with the laws of the universe, going to sleep when it's dark, waking up when it's light, working, resting, doing all these things properly, then you won't get sick. Unfortunately, our way of looking at life in the West is very different, in that we tend to struggle on in spite of our headache and not take terribly much notice of our body when things are not quite right, and we tend to struggle on until we fall over and we get carted off to hospital in an ambulance. And so acupuncture in the West, unfortunately, in a way, has come to be not the preventative medicine that it could be, because we're not taking responsibility enough for ourselves in going along and making sure that we stay well.